You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Pete LaBarbera of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality, or AFTA. Our website is americansfortruth.org or .com. And once again, we're talking with my friend Gary Glenn, who is, I believe, one of the most effective national pro-family leaders. If you want to hear all the praise, go back to part one of our interview, which is up online at americansfortruth.org. Gary is the executive director of American Family Association of Michigan and a longtime pro-family activist. Welcome back, Gary.
Pete, great to be with you again.
Well, we got a lot to discuss, and Gary, I said last show, and I'll say it again, if we had an activist like you in every state, the country would look different from a pro-family perspective, because you've stopped, just by your leadership, you've put the brakes to some awful legislation, and you've passed some effective legislation, such as you took a leading role in preserving marriage as of course, historically it is, between one man and one woman in Michigan. And I want to get into your record, and I want to get into some of your ways of operating that unfortunately too many people don't do in our movement. But before I do, I want to just quickly we're pre-recording again. It's February 1st. This show airs on the Saturday following. And in the week since we talked last here, some homosexual activists have begun targeting Chick-fil-A, which is a Christian-owned corporation. It serves some wonderful chicken sandwiches. I had some with my family last night. And Gary, they've targeted Chick-fil-A because the company, one of its branches in Pennsylvania, donated sandwiches at a pro-marriage event put on by the Pennsylvania Family Institute, which supports marriage between one man and one woman. And now we've seen the national media picking up on this attack. And actually, ABC and the New York Times did stories about this ridiculous boycott. It's so ridiculous that even a lot of homosexuals don't support it. But they've targeted Chick-fil-A. Meanwhile, we see major corporations supporting some of the most radical homosexual organizations like the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, and not a peep. But we're supposed to be all concerned about Chick-fil-A supporting marriage between one man and one woman.
Well, I mean, what a windfall for Chick-fil-A. If I were the owner or a stockholder in Chick-fil-A, I'd be doing cartwheels. I mean, really this, I mean, all of this, Pete, is a matter of mindset. It's almost, you know, like a Jedi mind trick. The emperor has no clothes type of thing. If you choose to be intimidated and defensive, then you see the world in one way, and if you look at reality, you see the world in an entirely different way. And let me give you an example of what I mean by that. Marriage protection amendments have been on the ballot in 30 states and have passed every time with an average margin of somewhere in the high 60%. So Chick-fil-A is being attacked for supporting something that an average of over 65% of Americans in 30 states have voted in favor of. I mean, they don't have Chick-fil-A's in Michigan that I'm aware of, or my family and I would make a point of eating there. But if you're going to be attacked for taking a stand in the culture war, wouldn't you rather be attacked for taking the stand that is shared by 65% plus of Americans, as proven by ballot measures that appeared on the ballot in now 30 states?
Absolutely, Gary.
I mean, why be intimidated? I mean, I'd buy ads and brag about it.
Well, that's the thing, and I was talking to our friend, our mutual friend, Matt Barber from Liberty Council on my way in, and he sent out a tweet We're both active on Twitter. You can go to our accounts. His is J. Matt Barber. Mine is Peter LaBarbera on the Twitter feed. And he said that Chick-fil-A should have put out a statement immediately. This is Matt Barber. At Chick-fil-A, we support the biblical model for marriage, family, and human sexuality without apology. End of discussion, unquote. I mean, this when these companies adopt this defensive posture, Gary, that's what you're saying. They immediately go into the intimidation mode.
Well, there was a poll done in September of 2009 by a Democratic pollster in Lansing, who is a Democratic county commissioner and a campaign consultant. And he asked the question, if it appeared on a statewide ballot, would you vote to repeal Michigan's Marriage Protection Amendment? Now, it was passed in 2004 with 59% of the vote voting in favor, defined marriage as being only between one man and one woman, and said there can't be any counterfeit recognition of other relationships such as civil unions and domestic partnerships. So what we call a strong marriage protection amendment protects the actual institution of marriage, the unique legal standing and characteristics of marriage, and not just the legal use of the word marriage. So it passed with 59% in 2004. 5 years later, a liberal Democrat consultant does a poll and says, would you vote to repeal it? Well, no surprise, 90% of Republicans in Michigan said they would vote against repealing the marriage amendment. 60% of independents said they would vote against repealing Michigan's marriage amendment. And half of all Democrats in Michigan said they would vote against repealing Michigan's one-man, one-woman marriage amendment that also prohibits homosexual civil unions, domestic partnerships. Given those kinds of results, a corporation in America could only hope that they would be attacked for agreeing with, at least in Michigan, 90% of Republicans, 60% of independents, and half of all Democrats. Why would you want to be known nationally for siding with the minority position on this question?
Because they're listening to the media, Gary, and not common sense.
That's the problem. That's what I said. You can choose to be intimidated and adopt a defensive mindset about this, or you can deal in reality and truth, with a capital T, and boldly stand up for biblical principles on this question and what's right, what most Americans believe is right.
Now, Gary, let's talk about some of your successes in Michigan. Now, another issue where people are just being bowled over is so-called bullying. The homosexual lobby very adeptly is using bullying as a tactic to get into schools and promote the norming of homosexuality under the guise of protecting so-called LGBT and other kids from being bullied. How did you address that? They tried to pass that in Michigan, and under your leadership, you shut it down. Tell us that story.
Well, again, I think it's a question of mindset. Are you going to be on defense, or are you going to play offense? And if you look across the country, most people, when confronted by accusations or public charges by homosexual activists and their political allies, immediately go on defense and act as if they're ashamed that they support traditional morality and traditional definitions of the family and adopt a defensive posture. We just simply don't do business that way. And I think we've had some effective results as a result of that. And in specific, on the bullying issue, the Republicans were floundering in the Michigan legislature as to how to stop this, and we just simply framed it a different way. The homosexual activists are using the bullying issue, as you indicated, as a Trojan horse. Their real objective is to establish in Michigan state law and in other states sexual orientation, i.e. homosexual behavior, and gender identity, i.e. cross-dressing, as the legal basis of rights and protections. And so all we said was, why do you insist on segregating students into these special protected class categories like sexual orientation and gender identity, and then dole out protection against bullying expressly on the basis of a student's membership in one of these protected classes? In other words, a segregation strategy. We said instead, why don't we simply we would not oppose, at least, a bill that simply protected all students from all bullying for all reasons, that, of course, the word all would include kids who are involved in the homosexual lifestyle or cross-dressing, but it would not implement the Trojan horse objective of homosexual activists of putting into the law sexual orientation as the basis of that protection. The Republicans thought it was, you know, a great way to frame the issue. They found their voice and some backbone and stood up on it and said, we'll support a bill that protects all kids against all bullying for all reasons. Now, notably, for anybody around the country who's trying to stop this type of legislation, there are only 7 or 8 states of the 45, I think, who have passed bullying legislation who've actually adopted what homosexual activists demand, this so-called enumeration, where they spell out and say, we want you to specifically prohibit bullying on the basis of sexual orientation. Only 7 or 8 states in the country have actually done that, what we call the segregation strategy. The other states have actually passed the broad, all-inclusive posture, and that is protect all kids against all bullying for all reasons. Bullypolice.org, which is one of the nation's leading, if not the leading, anti-bullying activist organizations, founded by a woman in eastern Washington whose daughter, I believe it was, committed suicide, agrees with us on this position, that anti-bullying bills should not, as homosexual activists insist, divide students, segregate students into these special categories, and then dole out protection against bullying on the basis of their being in one of these categories, like sexual orientation or cross-dressing. So look at the facts. The facts are that the overwhelming majority of states that have passed these bills don't have what homosexual activists demand. The nation's leading anti-bullying group agrees with us that it shouldn't be in there. If you had those facts behind you, wouldn't you take a bold, offensive posture rather than being defensive?
Absolutely. I mean, Gary, we're going to
come in truth and the facts of reality.
Absolutely. We're talking to Gary Glenn of American Family Association of Michigan. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Pete LaBarbera of Americans for Truth about homosexuality. Our website is americansfortruth.org. You can support us using the donate button. We've got a Truth Academy coming up in Columbus, Ohio, April 1st and April 1st and 2nd. Columbus, Ohio, hit the Truth Academy button on the right side, and we hope to have our guest as a speaker at these Truth Academies. We haven't been able to land him yet. We're talking to Gary Glenn of American Family Association of Michigan. Their website is afamichigan.org. Is that right, Gary? AFAMichigan.org, simply one of the most effective pro-family activists in the nation. And the website Gary just gave out for the bullying organization is Bully Police. That's bullypolice.org. And yes, of course, we want to protect kids from being bullied. Any kid who bullies a weaker kid is a coward himself, and you cannot reward a bully. And Gary, speaking of rewarding bullies, unfortunately, that's the way our whole, it seems so often, our pro-family movement operates. You've got the political bullies, which are the homosexual activist, the homosexual activist lobbyists, and they are always pushing for us to take weaker and weaker stands. And often, our defense of marriage ends up being weak. You spoke of the difference between a strong marriage amendment that also covers civil unions and the sort of namby-pamby version, which just protects basically the word marriage. And we see time and again that when you just do that, then the other side moves in and they enact civil unions, like was just signed into law the other day in Illinois. Illinois now has a so-called civil unions bill, which is effectively all the rights and responsibilities of marriage. They just changed the wording to civil union. So talk about this, how you did it in Michigan, and was there pressure for you to take the weaker approach?
Actually, there was not in Michigan, even though there is in a lot of other states.
Talk about West Virginia right now.
Yeah, West Virginia right now. But I remember reading a commentary probably about 10 years ago by some homosexual activist, in which he said, look, you know, we can have an element of our movement that insists and demands on having full homosexual marriage legalized right now. But he said the civil union strategy is going to give it to us eventually anyway. It's only a matter of time. Because he said, you know, if we don't have marriage redefined in the law, but we get homosexual civil unions recognized and treated exactly as if they are marriages, then 20 years from now, people are going to say, well, what's the difference? The only difference is the name. What difference does it make? And so he said the legalization of homosexual civil unions or domestic partnerships is the long-term strategy to the same end result. If you have a marriage protection amendment that is written specifically to allow counterfeit relationships recognized by the state that are treated as marriage in everything but name, which erodes the unique social standing and role model relationship that marriage plays for children and our society, then the marriage amendment really in the long term doesn't accomplish anything.
Yeah, now, Gary, let me jump in there. You had said that in 20 years people are going to say, what's the difference? And that's effectively the mindset of the modern liberal. Many Democrats now who just a few years ago, people like Al Gore, Bill Clinton, who were technically against so-called homosexual marriage, now say they're for it because they first supported civil unions, and it's almost just a word change for them.
Well, of course, and back in 2003, remember how radical it was when Howard Dean signed a civil unions law into law in Vermont, and now a lot of Republican legislators and U.S. senators and congressmen say, oh, well, I'm against homosexual marriage, but I support homosexual civil unions. That's also the official position of Obama and Hillary Clinton, for example. So my point is, if you have a marriage protection amendment that only protects and reserves the legal use of the word marriage, you have not achieved the objective of protecting the unique legal institution and social standing of the institution of marriage. Now, thankfully, of the 30 states that have passed marriage protection amendments, only 9 of them are of these weaker, of the weaker variation that protect only the name. Two-thirds of the marriage amendments that have been passed by people across the country not only protect marriage as being only between one man and one woman, but also don't allow the state to recognize something else as a marriage, just give it a different name, or require taxpayers to have to spend money providing spousal benefits to the homosexual partners of government employees.
Now, wait a minute. Gary, here's what's interesting, though. A couple of those states with the weaker ones. I think Missouri has a weaker language.
Yes.
I think Tennessee does. Now,
yes.
You and I, we may not be, the top of the heap in the pro-family movement, but we do get some an eye towards the inside track. Sometimes we see what's going on. We know where some of the bodies are buried. And I happen to know of one case of a conservative state where I got word from a pro-family activist in the discussions in which he basically confirmed that leading pro-family organizations encouraged the adoption of the weaker one. Now, this, I believe, happened in Tennessee.
Yeah, certainly happened in Tennessee. It's happening right now in West Virginia. Right now in West Virginia, you've had introduced a marriage protection amendment. It's been introduced for 6 years. It's 2 sentences. It protects the use of the word marriage, and then it also prohibits the state from devaluing the institution of marriage by recognizing homosexual civil unions, domestic partnerships, and treating them as if they're marriage as long as they're not called that. Well, the American Family Association affiliate in West Virginia is supporting the amendment that actually protects the institution of marriage, while the focus on the family affiliate, as it did in Tennessee and has done in other states, is supporting the weaker amendment. Now, the practical political result of that is that the Democrats who control the West Virginia legislature, they can have some of their people support one, some of their people support the other, making sure that neither one has majority support, and the focus on the family affiliate in West Virginia is giving credibility and political cover to the Democratic strategists in the legislature who don't want to allow a public vote on either one. I'm a believer with God, all things are possible. If all pro-family organizations were to unite behind the amendment that actually protects the institution of marriage, not just in name only, I think the political pressure would be sufficient in a conservative state, even though it's democratic like West Virginia, it's culturally conservative. The pressure would grow to the point where I think eventually the legislature would be forced to let the people vote. But in this case, The focus on the family affiliate is playing into the hands of homosexual activists and their political allies in the West Virginia legislature by dividing support among pro-family activists between the two amendments. That's just one example. Exact same thing happened in Tennessee. As we discussed in our interview last week, this has been a disturbing pattern by some of the bigger name organizations like Focus on the Family, having said, during President Obama's first consideration for a Supreme Court appointee, that it would be fine with them if we had an openly homosexual Supreme Court nominee.
It's the unprincipled tack. And, Gary, we know, just practically speaking, because politics is tough, that for Missouri and Tennessee, to go back and pass measures which will protect the institution of marriage, which will guard against this civil unions fraud, which, as you correctly say, will wear down this whole issue, will wear people's 20 years from now, people say, okay, yeah, just call it marriage. We know that it's now going to be very difficult to go back and pass laws or a stronger amendment that would block that.
And the political reality, once again, is a state like Michigan, which is solidly in the purple camp. I mean, we had a liberal, left-wing Democratic governor for the last 8 years, Jennifer Granholm. The State House of Representatives was controlled by liberal Democrats, many of them campaigns financed by a homosexual billionaire in Kalamazoo who put up millions of dollars.
His name?
John Stryker, Stryker, in Kalamazoo. And yet in solidly purple Michigan, the stronger marriage amendment that not only protected the use of the word marriage, but also the institution, prohibiting the recognition of other relationships, treating them like marriage except by another name, was passed with nearly 60% of the vote. So even if a mainstream purple moderate state like Michigan will support the stronger amendment, in Tennessee or Missouri, when these things appeared on the ballot, Pete, had they been stronger versions of the marriage amendment, they would have passed by equally a large a margin as they did in the version that they were on the ballot.
Absolutely, Gary. And, you know, we mentioned also here in Illinois, where we just got civil union signed, you know, this was steamrolled in a lame duck session. I attended the excellent IFI, Illinois Family Institute event, where they had over two dozen pastors, almost all African-American, speaking against the civil unions law, speaking against government support for immoral behavior. This is an issue which unites people of all different backgrounds, of different faiths. One of your strong suits is you've worked well with people, not even just Christians, people of all different backgrounds. You've mobilized them because they all share the same opposition to sexual immorality.
Well, and again, it's just a question of do you set out to play offense or defense? Are you timid or bold? And let me give you an example. A lot of pro-family activists, certainly a bunch of Republican politicians, when they're accused of supporting policies that quote-unquote discriminate on the basis of homosexual behavior or cross-dressing, they cower, they react defensively. Well, you can also react on offense. And this is how we have done so in addressing the issue in Michigan, in which we've had some substantial successes when this has been on the ballot. It is, in fact, the proposed gay rights laws themselves that discriminate against people, that repress religious freedom. The Washington Post, the LA Times, National Public Radio, certainly not media organs for the Christian conservative movement in this country, all agree that these sexual orientation ordinances discriminate against people on the basis of religious belief and are a threat to religious freedom. So when you see the Salvation Army prohibited from bidding on contracts to service the poor in Cook County, Illinois...
Let me cut you off there, Gary. Let's pick that up after the break, talking to Gary Glenn.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your tax-deductible gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Hello, everybody. I'm Pete LaBarbera of Americans for Truth about Homosexuality. We are a single-issue organization devoted to opposing the powerful homosexual activist movement. If you could support our organization, go to AmericansForTruth.org. We're tax-deductible. Make a gift. There's a donate button. If you can support Gary's organization, it is a very worthy organization to support. His website is afamichigan.org, afamichigan.org. If you want to bring in Gary to speak to your organization or your church, you can reach him through the website at afamichigan.org, and you can reach me and the people here at AFTA, Americans for Truth, at americansfortruth.org. Gary, this is, you know, listening to you, it just strikes me as, you know, leadership, the person standing in the gap, it makes such a big difference. Where there is leadership, good things happen. Where there's not leadership, it doesn't. It just is totally bizarre that, you know, you called yourself purple. Others would call Michigan a blue state, that you stopped bullying in its tracks. And yet in North Carolina, which everybody would recognize as a conservative state, a red state, North Carolina passed a bullying law that was specific, or as you called it, segregated. How was the wording?
It's the segregation strategy. And Pete, again, it's all a matter of which mindset you choose to adopt. And I was on a roll as we went into the break. Let me strengthen the point. Let's hold a little Truth Academy right now and pass on some training. It is the so-called gay rights laws that are themselves discriminatory. For example, Salvation Army in Cook County, Illinois, is prohibited under the county's sexual orientation ordinance from even bidding on contracts to serve the poor in the Chicago area. The Boy Scouts in numerous places around the country are denied the use of city docks or city parks or city facilities. Julia Ward, a graduate student at Eastern Michigan University, was expelled from her counseling program because she refused to violate her Christian conviction by counseling a homosexual man about how to strengthen his homosexual relationship. Crystal Dixon, vice president of personnel at the University of Toledo, fired from her job, discriminated against because she went home in her private capacity as a citizen, being an African-American woman, and objected in a letter to the editor about homosexual activists comparing their movement to the civil rights movement. Richard Stern, president of the Police Officers Union in Ann Arbor, fired from his job because he stood up and asked a candidate for police chief if she supported the gay agenda. Fired for violating the sexual orientation ordinance. Woman in New Mexico fined $6,000 because as a photographer, which was her profession, she chose not to photograph a lesbian wedding. A church in Maryland stripped of its tax status because it wouldn't allow its beachside chapel to be used for a lesbian wedding. Case after case after case of actual cases of discrimination, people being fired, people being expelled from school, have their tax status taken away, fined because of their religious convictions on this issue. So, do you choose to react defensively when you're accused of discriminating because you don't support the homosexual agenda, or do you tell the truth and deal in real-world reality that it is the homosexual agenda itself and the way it manifests itself in legislation that actually discriminates against people? Now, I've just rattled off a number of examples. There's dozens more. And yet, when these issues are on the ballot here in Michigan for the last 10 years, and it's been on the ballot in Michigan more often in the last 10 years than the rest of the other 49 states combined, that's no accident. I mean, we've been aggressive about trying to block this agenda. Every time we challenge the opposition to identify one person who's been fired or refused service in a restaurant or been evicted from their apartment or their home because of what kind of sex they have, And in 10 years, they've never been able to provide even one example. And yet I've just rattled off half a dozen examples of real, actual discrimination. So who are the discriminators? It is the homosexual activist movement. And who's standing up against discrimination? It's those of us who continue to say that marriage ought to be only between one man and one woman, and that people ought to be free to practice their religious convictions without fear of being fired or kicked out of school or stripped of their tax status or facing fines and punishment. And, of course, in other countries around the world, in Europe and in Canada, you've actually had people face prison time.
Right.
Or doing something as simple as, you know, giving a sermon from the Bible, or in one case in Ireland, Catholic priests threatened with 6 months in jail if they read the Vatican statement from the pulpit saying marriage ought to remain only between a man and a woman. If we deal in truth, we shouldn't have any problem being bold and aggressive and taking an offensive posture instead of cowering and being timid and on defense, as so many politicians and even pro-family organizations seem to be these days.
Absolutely, Gary. And now, you had one loss recently. What was that, Kalamazoo, where they did pass one of these discriminatory sexual orientation measures?
It's been on the ballot two times, once in the November 08 election and again in November 2009. And let me discuss both of them. In November 2008, we had on the ballot in Hamtramck, Michigan, which was a suburb of Detroit, one of these gay rights ordinances that adds sexual orientation and gender identity to categories such as immutable characteristics, such as race and color and sex, and asks by law that homosexual behavior and cross-dressing be made the moral and social and legal equivalent of the color of somebody's skin, for example. The city of Hamtramck is overwhelmingly Democrat. November 2008, Pete, it voted 85% in favor of Barack Obama for president. This is not a conservative stronghold in the blue state of Michigan. On that same ballot, those same voters, by a 10-point margin, rejected a local gay rights ordinance because we effectively exposed it as being discriminatory in nature.
And, Gary, you effectively mobilized many different communities. You had the Muslim community. You had the African-American community. Tell us about how you did that.
Well, I actually, it was quite a remarkable experience. On one occasion, I was in the upper room of a Polish Catholic restaurant, and there are a lot of people in Hamtramck who still speak Polish as their primary language. The Muslim community is another strong element of that particular community, so we had a meeting upstairs in a Polish Catholic restaurant where half the people were in long white robes and Muslim. And there was another meeting that got a lot of attention held at a Knights of Columbus Hall where you had a lot of Muslims in attendance as well. But those two communities spoke out forcefully against the threat to religious freedom, against the threat to women's privacy rights. I mean, we haven't even gotten into the way that these ordinances discriminate against the privacy rights of women. When, for example, a man insists that he's really a woman, whether he's had any kind of surgery or not, the homosexual activist movement says that your quote-unquote gender is whatever you say it is. The state of Pennsylvania recently changed its driver's license policy to allow a man to have his driver's license changed to identify himself as a female, whether he's had surgery or not being an irrelevancy, and they want to use the power of law to compel the rest of society to treat their emotional and psychological delusion as if it's reality. So is it discriminatory? Is it violative of the privacy rights of women and children if a woman goes into a public restroom or shower or locker room and finds a man standing there? I mean, we had a nursing professor at Western Michigan University had that exact experience, went to a health club, realized there was a man in the shower next to her.
Unbelievable.
And had the courage to speak out. Now, it was on the ballot as well in Kalamazoo in 2009, and in that city, the gay rights ordinance passed. Wasn't a surprise because even the marriage amendment had failed inside the city limits of Kalamazoo, has a very liberal state university there. And it is the home of the homosexual activist billionaire John Stryker. And our side, as it typically is, was outspent on the ballot measure in Kalamazoo, 410,000 to about 50,000, with John Stryker being the predominant source of the funding for that. So,
and what was the margin on that?
It was, I think, 60. It was actually a fairly resounding 65-35. The best predictor of whether or not one of these local gay rights ordinances is going to pass, at least in our experience, is how did the Marriage Protection Amendment do in that city? In the city of Kalamazoo, even the Marriage Protection Amendment was defeated, yet statewide it passed 60-40. And to buttress the point you made earlier, every center of the African-American population in the state of Michigan, Detroit and Flint and Saginaw and Benton Harbor, voted in favor of the Marriage Protection Amendment. I mean, newsflash to Republicans who want to broaden the base and broaden their electoral appeal, if you're looking for something on the basis of which you might have a chance of actually attracting African-American support, this is it, as proven time and time again on the ballot.
Were you outspent in Hamtramck as well?
Yeah, we were outspent in Hamtramck. Another example I'm aware of was Bowling Green, Ohio, was just on the ballot in November of 2010. The homosexual advocates got $150,000 from the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, spent a total of $270,000 in a little community where the total voter turnout was only 8,000 votes. Our side of the issue spent, it was $270,000 to $20,000 or $30,000, something like that.
Oh, wow.
And
what was the margin on that? Homosexual side won that one.
They did, but it's...
They bought it.
It's important to look at the breakdown. In the city of Bowling Green itself, voters rejected the gay rights ordinance. There were two precincts on the campus of Bowling Green State University where the two ordinances passed literally 95% to 5%. And on the basis of those two precincts at Bowling Green State University, the opposition narrowly won those ballot measures. It was a close call, even though our side of the issue was outspent $270,000 to $30,000 or $40,000.
It's incredible. This whole thing is absolutely incredible. If the pro-family movement, aided by political groups, would actually fight, we could win all these battles. We're talking to Gary Glenn, who's the president of the American Family Association of Michigan. His website is afamichigan.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back to part two of our interview with Gary Glenn, the president of the American Family Association of Michigan. His website is afamichigan.org. Ours is americansfortruth.com or .org. And part one of the interview is going to be available at, it is available right now at americansfortruth.org. Gary, really quick, this has been a great discussion on mindset. And as we both know, unfortunately, the mindset is often defensive and timid and scared, even among people who claim to, you know, to follow the Bible. We're supposed to expect persecution if we stand up for what's right.
Well, you made the point as we were going to break that if we simply had equal resources, we'd win these battles.
But not just resources, Gary. That I think is part of the people say, oh, woe is me. We don't have the money that the homosexuals side does. Look, you're an example, and I think this cannot be stressed enough. You're talking mindset here. Yeah. And the scandal is that Gary Glenn is not a $2 million organization. You know, there should be people coming out of the woodwork to support you because you have turned back. You did lead the way. And I want to say, Gary, really quickly, that the Boy Scout thing means a lot to you because you are an Eagle Scout.
Yeah, I've got three sons who are Eagle Scouts and a fourth one who's a Life Scout. My wife's been on the local Scout Council, so...
Okay, and let's take a lesson from the homosexual activists on that one. When they lost in the Supreme Court on the Boy Scouts, what did they do? Did they say, oh, we lost, okay, I guess it's over? No, they very wickedly went after the Boy Scouts. They went after all public funding, government funding. Yeah. Even tell us how that happened. You know, piers and boat docks where the Scouts were providing a community service, the homosexual activists went after that.
Well, and for example, Scouts in Cook County, Illinois are not allowed to lease county forests for camping because your local county commission has ruled that it would violate the sexual orientation ordinance.
That is just scandalous.
But
shame on the liberals for that. Shame on the homosexual activists. They're just the Scouts. They're just trying to help the boys.
Well, it's just an example of discrimination. Catholic Charities being told it could no longer refer kids for adoption. Even though they handled 40% of all adoption referrals in the city of Boston, unless they violated their doctrine and referred kids to homosexual couples to adopt. Salvation Army not being allowed to bid on contracts to service the poor in Cook County. The Boy Scouts, all these individuals who were fired or expelled from school. The homosexual activist agenda is one of discrimination, and it needs to be called that. If you're against discrimination, then you should oppose the sexual orientation gender identity ordinances that that make their way into the legislatures and city councils.
All right, Gary, let me get you on privacy rights. As we talked over in the break, too, the military, in announcing this Obama plan to homosexualize the military, explicitly stated the people who are going to be carrying this policy forward, this regrettable policy to allow open homosexuality in the military, they explicitly stated that they are not going to make to adhere or to honor the privacy rights of soldiers, not to shower with people who define themselves as sexually attracted to people of the same sex.
You know, I read a commentary, I think it was in the Washington Times or the New York Times. It was written by an individual in the military with the Judge Advocates Corps who's responsible for prosecuting sexual crimes in the military. And the point that he made was there was a disproportionately homosexual nature of sex crimes in the military, even when open homosexuality was not allowed in the military. And his point was when you do openly allow it, you're going to see an increase in sexual assaults that are predominantly homosexual in nature. You have also, that, as our friend Matt Barber has raised, the prospect of battlefield blood transfusions and all of the health implications regarding hepatitis and AIDS. I mean, this policy is not just a question of morality. It's one that has actually increased the threat to the health and to the lives, not just the privacy and the morals of our armed services, men and women.
Well, now, Gary, talk about some more examples. This I'm fascinated by your very aggressive mentality. You're saying, talk discrimination, don't get on the defensive. Give us some other examples in Michigan.
The city of Royal Oak, they had a gay rights ordinance on the ballot according to the census. Royal Oak is one of the three communities in our state that has the highest percentage of the population in which households identify themselves as being same-sex or homosexual in nature. The Nation magazine called it, quote, the gayest suburb in Michigan. When the gay rights ordinance was on the ballot there, we got 68% of the vote in rejecting it by painting it as itself being discriminatory. It's just another example of instead of adopting the opposition's framing of this issue, we frame it ourselves. If you're against discrimination, then you should vote no on these so-called gay rights ordinances that discriminate against the privacy rights of women and children, that discriminate against people on the basis of their religious conviction. Another
Gary,
example.
A practical question quickly. How did you get that through the media? I mean, the media can't be on your side. How do you get that message out?
Well, I mean, media doesn't have to be on your side to report what you say. You also use every other aspect of a campaign, flyers and radio ads and direct mail pieces, and we used all of those in the Royal Oak campaign and all of the others, TV ads on occasion in a cheap market. Another good example, and I call this leverage, is just do something that you know is going to get media coverage, and the media becomes a tool by which you communicate. Let me give you an example from this recently passed November 2010 election. We had a couple of cases here in Michigan in which you had openly homosexual candidates for the legislature. Our PAC bought radio advertising in which the radio ads for 30 seconds did nothing but quote homosexual activist organizations or newspapers praising the openly homosexual candidates. So the radio ad would say something like this, State Representative candidate Tony Sessoms in Mount Pleasant is running for the legislature. Here's what the homosexual newspaper in Detroit said about her. Quote, Tony Sessoms, if elected, will be the first openly lesbian candidate elected to the Michigan House of Representatives, unquote. The opposition goes ballistic, goes wild in reacting to these types of radio communications, calls them discriminatory and, quote, hateful, when in fact all it did was truthfully quote their own publications bragging about the fact that these candidates would advance the homosexual agenda. In one case, they actually put it on MSNBC, a tape of our radio ad, and then had a panel of liberals sit around and talk about how terrible and bigoted it was, and all it did was quote their own publications and organizations. In other words, all we did was dare to tell the truth in public. It caused a great media uproar. There were condemnations, and this liberal Democrat, openly homosexual candidate got 35% of the vote. Similar situation in a campaign in Royal Oak, where the Republican candidate was the openly homosexual candidate. We're no respecter of persons or parties or politicians. We put out the truth about his candidacy and where he would take his agenda if elected, and it's one that resulted in a fairly demonstrative reaction from one political campaign consultant who said something about somebody ought to take a sock full of quarters over to my house and beat me to death or something to that effect.
Yeah, and we're gonna play that next week, Gary. We're gonna play that threat.
Yeah, I mean, so not only on this issue.
You got 30 seconds, Gary.
Not only on this issue is it the homosexual activist agenda that is discriminatory, it is promoted by people who often prove themselves to be and to make the most hateful and hostile and sometimes violent comments anytime you dare stand up against them. I mean, nothing infuriates or frustrates them more than when you don't cower as if you're intimidated and taking a defensive posture. Stand up for the truth, and you can succeed.
Absolutely, and we know there are plenty of anti-Christian, anti-religious bigots in the Republican Party, as well as the Democratic Party, and thankfully people like you, Gary, are not intimidated by them. We're talking to Gary Glenn. We have at least one, possibly two more interviews with Gary. I'm Pete LaBarbera, Americans for Truth. Go out there and stand boldly for truth.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.